We're going to get Brother Ronnie right up here, so he has plenty of time. And so, again, Pastor Jones, good to have you this morning. We appreciate your fellowship and your help to our church and your testimony, and looking forward to preaching again today.
Thank you, preacher.
Good to see everybody this morning. Appreciate you being faithful to the Lord's house and thankful for this opportunity to stand this morning, looking forward to a good day in the Lord. Second Chronicles, I'm going to let you just remain seated. And I really don't have a Sunday school lesson, but I just want to bring a brief message, maybe challenge your heart a little bit, and hope it'll be a blessing to you. Second Chronicles chapter 34. I want to just kind of split up my reading a little bit. I'm going to start with verse number 1 and read to verse number 7. Then I'm going to skip some verses, so you just bear with me. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Bible says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God, after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even to Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, and Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king, and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and had delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And he came, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Milkiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asai, the servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Look at verse 31, if you would, please. Verse 31, and the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all the days they departed, and in all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. So I want to leave off right there. This is kind of a lengthy chapter. But this man, this young person, if you want to call it that, which he was when he took the throne, his name Josiah. I want to look at him for just a minute. I preached this recently at my church and was kind of toiling a little bit about what to share with you this morning, and I kind of felt like the Lord directed me. So I'm going to ask a question and preach to you based on that question. Can a young person live for God? Can a young person live for God? Well, we're in days today where what I call, and I believe the Bible teaches us, that true conversion from sin to salvation, a life that's full of sin, a life that is in bondage to darkness and Satan, and then converted at salvation, and their life is transformed. And the Lord saved me when I was 19 years old. The only example that I have to refer to is my own testimony. So I'm not putting myself on a platform of example. I think I'm not a very good example. But I will say this, the Lord converted me. He changed my life. And he put a desire in my heart to want to live for God. We're living in times now where there's another gospel that's being preached. It's an apostate day. Right. We're seeing a lot, and I'm not trying to add to Brother Shane's message. He did a great job. But I was reading one time and I learned this. An apostate is a person that has received light, yes, but they have never received life. Okay, so they have come to the light of truth. They've come to the light of salvation. Maybe they went through the formalities of making a profession, or were baptized, or had their name placed on a church roll. But the true fruition of where you stand with God will be manifested. So we're not seeing a lot of strong conversions. I'm all about being patient with people, but when you read your Bible about biblical examples of conversions, we see distinct changes in people's lives as soon as they met Christ. The disciples, when he confronted his disciples and spoke to them, and all of this is type, it's a picture. But they left their fishing nets, they left their vocation, and they began to follow the Lord. So that was a distinct change. The woman at the well, when she heard the words of Christ, in fact, she was so taken back with his knowledge of her and conviction of her past. The Bible says she left her water pot, she went to the men of the city, and said, come see a man that hath told me all that I have ever done. You move forward and you look at a man named Saul, who we know later as the Apostle Paul. And so he's on the road to Damascus. He's got a total misconcept of Christianity. And so he is serving letters, and he's taking prisoners that are Christians, and he's bringing them for judgment and persecution. And he's on the road to Damascus, and he's met the Lord. And the Lord has changed him around. Now he's been converted to be a Christian. and as much energy as he was pouring in against the church, he is now pouring in that much more for the church. And you can go on and on. What about the maniac of Gadara? And here's a man full of demons. And he's cutting himself. He's naked. He's dwelling among the tombs. No man could tame him. He was a menace to society. The Lord came to where he was. The Lord delivered him from those demons and converted him, gave him peace. He was sitting. He had a right mind. He was clothed. And so we go through the Bible and we see all of that. So I want to make a challenge to all of us. We all stand in need of this challenge of living for God. But we're also living in a day today where we see a lot of fear among young people with peer pressure and everything that comes their way, every kind of style, every kind of type of music, every time, you know, even among churches in youth groups and sending young people off to camps, going to Christian schools. My daughter, we took my daughter, you know, I don't know a lot. I made a lot of decisions. I don't know whether it was right. So we took her off to Crown College. I look back. I don't know that that was right. But if she didn't get anything else out of that, she was thrown into something that we kind of felt like as Christian parents that, okay, we're leaving our daughter in a dorm and committing her to a Christian college that the best we can figure out, she'll be safe. But she wasn't safe. I mean, she was confronted with a lot of theories from a lot of kids that came from different homes and different philosophies about Christianity. And she was thrown into a tailspin about what did she believe. At that point, everything she believed was what dad and mom believed. But she said this. She said, I had to come to a place to answer the questions about what is it I believe. And she opened her Bible with all of her workload. She took time to open her Bible and study it and find out what she really believed. But it doesn't matter where you go. You can say, well, I'm going to send them off to Christian school. They're really going to come back on fire for God. But they might hit devastation. And you don't know that. And I'm here to say to you, in the light of this text, here's a young man, just because his father passed away, he was the one that was succeeding into the throne, and he was only, get this now, 8 years old. Do we have anybody in here 8 years old? 9 years old? Any wives think your husband's about 8 years old? Okay. And so here's a boy that's 8 years old. My grandson, my daughter's youngest son is 8 years old. Isn't that right? Eight. And so I'm thinking about, Titus. I'm thinking about Titus and he's 8 years old, and I get to thinking about him taking a throne and all the kingdom. And of course, when one took a throne at that age, he would have advisors that were more mature, but he was sitting in the seat. And so what an amazing place. Then when I read about his character and his pursuit for God, then that brings me to this question. Can a young person live for God? It's all wrapped up in one word. Yes. Yes, you can live for God. And you know what? In this day, we need some people in general that will just live for God. We need preachers. And I'm preaching at me. But we need preachers that will live for God. Amen. And then we need adults. You want your children to live for God? Then live for God in front of them. Live for God in front of them. Amen. And what happens a lot of times is, okay, we're going to do this Christian thing. And then on Sunday morning, we make this drive to church and we got, you know, maybe better clothes than what we go to work in, and we show up and we've got our good King James Bible. We come across the parking lot. We come and sit down and we do all of our church stuff. and we sing the right songs and we say the right words and we sit patiently and I don't know if Pastor Mass stands at the door when people go out or not, but we go out and we shake his hand and maybe comment about the message or whatever, and we go on about our business and go home and eat and take a nap and come back and do that thing again and then wait a couple of days and come back on Wednesday and do that thing again. And kids are coming up and all they're seeing is a formality at this place called Old Pies Baptist Church, and they don't really see a life. Where you can impress your children the most is in your daily life. Amen. But I want to say this, and I want you young people, don't go to sleep, listen to me. I want you to notice a little bit about the lineage, the line that he was coming from. Because we think, well, this kid over here, he's a teenager and he's really going for God and he's the pastor's favorite and he gets this opportunity and that opportunity but look what kind of home he's come out of. Well, let me mention Josiah's father to you. His name was Ammon. And Ammon, and I'm not going to take time to read, I don't have time, but there are Bible references. So it's in the chapter prior to this chapter. It talks about his father from verses 21 through 25. And his father was a very wicked, very sinful man. And then we talk about Amnon's father, which would have been Josiah's grandfather. His name was Manasseh. And Manasseh was a man from chapter 33, verses 1 and 2. He was a man that rebelled. He lived wickedly and he repented. But Manasseh's father, which would have been Josiah's great grandfather, was Hezekiah. And it's in reference to him is in 2 Chronicles 33, verse number 3. And it talks about he was a righteous man and took the throne at age 25. And then Hezekiah's father, we're moving on, was Ahaz. And he's mentioned in 2 Kings, chapter number 16. He took the throne when he was 20 years old, and he was a sinful man. And then his father was Jotham, 25 years old when he took the throne. Did right, but he did not remove the high places, so he compromised. So here's a young man by the name of Josiah that has come from a variety of influence. So his father that died off the throne was a sinful man, a wicked man. So when Josiah takes the throne, he's got his father's influence and he's probably got everybody, I guess if I could put it in terms on the kingdom board or on the presidential board, that's it, that's whispering in his ear, follow your father. Follow your father. Do what your father did. Exercise your authority on this throne like your father. But the Bible tells us some things that stand out to us as character. I want you to notice the pattern that he followed. Look at chapter 34, 2 Chronicles, and verse number 2. The Bible says he's 8 years old. He began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 30 years. So 31 years he reigned. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in the ways of David, his father, speaking of the lineage, the line that he was in. Okay? And declined, listen now, neither to the right hand nor to the left. If I could just stop right there, it's got a period. And if I could speak to me at age 64 years old, if I could finish like this young man finished and accomplish what he accomplished in verse number 2, I could die with a smile on my face and feel like I pleased God. So here's what he says. The Bible says he did that which was right in, young people listen to me, in the sight of the Lord. Live your life in the sight of the Lord. Amen? Right, sir. So here's a young lady comes and she gets stirred by the preaching and she wants to commit her life to the Lord, be dedicated. But she goes out there. And it doesn't have to be out there at the tattoo parlor. It can be just, you know, in a group of young people. And they're talking about vile things. You know, you can find a lot of wickedness with a Christian label over it. And they may discuss about losing your virginity or some, what they've done with a boyfriend or where they're going to go or some type of music that they're listening to. And you know it's wrong. And all of a sudden the pressure comes on. You're in a group of a half a dozen other girls and one of them speaking up with this kind of conversation. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost is prodding your heart. You need to speak up at that time about that kind of conversation and make your stand. But on the other side of that, there's this pressure. If you do that, you're going to have five friends walk away and not want to sit at your table when you eat. And you know what? That kind of pressure that we call youth peer pressure is a pressure that we face to your dying day, as long as you live in this world. And so here was Josiah's motive. His motive was a determination that he was going to live his life in the sight of God, facing judgment day. I want you to turn with me to Ecclesiastes in chapter number 11. Ecclesiastes in chapter number 11. Let's look over there for just a minute. And I want to read verse number 9. Here's what the Bible says. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. So here's what he's saying. Solomon is saying, young man, he said, I want you to rejoice in your youth. And he says, let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart. He's saying, young man, enjoy your youth. Enjoy living in these days of youthfulness. But that verse closes out and it says, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. So go ahead and kick your heels up. Live the way you want to live and enjoy your life. But remember this, and those of you that have been saved, remember this. As you live your life, you're going to stand before God someday. And you may have things settled between you and God as far as your past sin, and you've been saved by the grace of God. But there's a judgment day coming for me and for you. And we're going to be judged about our stewardship. And so when we take you back to that little illustration about that young teenage lady and she's got five friends and one of them wants to speak up about vile things and sinful things and listening to bad tapes and or maybe being involved with some young man in an immoral way. And the Spirit of God is going to prod your heart to speak up, because if you're silent and those other children, those other young people know where you come from, they know who your pastor is, they know who your church is, they know what you're claiming. And when you're quiet, you see, quietness and silence speaks very loud statements. When you get put in a pressure like that and you're quiet, you've just made a statement about that filth that was spoken. Y'all with me? So that's good advice for a 16-year-old. But that's good advice for a 45-year-old man in a break room down at the factory. And so Josiah made up his mind that he was going to live out his days in the sight of the Lord. That was the pattern he followed. keep an eye on my time here. But you know we're supposed to follow a pattern. We're supposed to follow something. We just don't go through life kicking up our heels. But the Bible says in the book of Jude, don't turn there, I'm just going to read this to you. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. The common salvation is the salvation that's given to us from this Bible right here. Because there are other perverted salvations. So he says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. But you know what I found out? There's a lot of varied opinions about what the faith is. But he identifies it. He says that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So you see, I'm not looking at Joel Osteen to figure out what kind of faith that I'm defending. I'm looking at men like Harold B. Sattler, Oliver B. Green. I'm looking at those men. Ladies should be looking at the character of those in the past. And what have they handed to us? They've not only handed us doctrine, but they've handed us a lifestyle. Amen?
Right.
And nobody said you're going to be popular when you're a Christian. We've got a lot of Bible examples about that. Joseph in his day was not popular. He was not popular, but he was a young man that knew God, and God gave him a dream, and he stood on the principles that God gave him. And it cost him hatred with his own brethren, thrown into a pit, and sold as a slave to Egypt, and just decided that wherever he landed, he was going to do what was right. And he did what was right in Potiphar's house. But Potiphar's wife threw him a curve, and he still did what was right. And doing what was right, listen, landed him in prison. That's right. So he still honored God in prison.
Yes. Right.
And you know the story, and I don't have time to relate to it, but when it's all said and done, he didn't know this, and the brethren didn't know this, how that God was going to do this. But he ended up on a throne with a chain around his neck, and he was next to Pharaoh in all the land, and God used him to store up the corn to feed not only the people of the land, but his father, his brethren, and all of their children. Amen? God will honor you if you'll honor him. Amen? That's right. Look at not only Joseph, but Samuel. What his mother, Hannah, did. And I would say this to the adults and the grandparents here. You ought to want to pour into those of the following generation how you want them to live. Amen? What about David when he stood before Goliath? All those macho soldiers were running and hiding in the bushes, and David walks out there with a sling. And he's got a Charlie Brown shirt on, and he says, I'll fight the giant. He said, this is not a problem. He said, my God is able. I'll do this. He was a youth and he stood for God. What about Daniel? The Bible says he was carried away captive, but he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or the king's wine. Amen. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He said, heat that furnace up all you want to heat it, but we're not going to bow. And our God is able to deliver us from the furnace, but if he doesn't deliver us, we're not bowing. Amen. I like that character. And you know what? This church needs that character. My church does. Brother Cloud's church needs that character. Listen to me just a minute. Because we have compromised that kind of character as Christians, we've lost this nation.
Right, absolutely.
Amen, Brother Ronnie. We've lost this nation. That's right. And so there was a pattern that he followed. I'm just going to mention, I've got three more. I'm just going to mention them. I'm going to sit down. There was a pursuit of faith. At the age of 16, the Bible says he began to seek after the God of David, his father. So he took the throne when he was 8. After 8 years of his reign, which made him 16 years old, he began to seek God. You need to look for God. Listen, I'm trying to be a little bit old-timey, but I'm going to tell you something. The pace of this life will hinder you in living for God. Right. And you need to learn a principle of pulling alone, shutting off the music, turning off the cell phone, and get alone and spend some time with God. You can do it on the back porch, do it in the bedroom, or go out on a pine thicket somewhere. And spend some time with God. The pursuit of faith. The purging of filth. I read that from verse number 3 to verse number 7. He willfully purged filth. Why do we come in church and wait for some man of God to roll up his sleeves, shuck corn, and blow everything out the seams and kind of put us on a little bit of guilt trip, but when we walk out, we kind of drift right back into it again? Yeah. Why don't you purpose in your own heart? Purpose in your own heart. What is filthy? God didn't call preachers to come around with a box of Kleenex and point at everything and say, you need to wipe this up and get rid of this and add this to your life. You, if you're saved, you've got the greatest preacher living in your heart. Right. Amen? Right. The purging of filth. And then I'm going to close. The precepts that he feared. They found the Word of God lost in the house of God. And they brought it out and began to read it. And the Bible says that Josiah feared, which I'm using that word in the sense of he reverenced. He reverenced. He reverenced those precepts, that moral law. And he realized that the fathers had forsaken that. And if you're a young person, you could pattern yourself. You can pattern yourself not only after this character name of Josiah, but you can pattern yourself after the God of this Bible right here. Make a difference to your generation. I've got to sit down, but I want to say this. Sometimes I get to talking to some of the other brothers. I get to talking to some parents. And I'll tell you something. I will say this. And I'm not throwing a blanket. This young couple here has a precious little girl. If something doesn't change, if Jesus doesn't come back and that precious little girl and these little children get to be 18 years old, can you imagine what America's going to be and what our churches are going to be? And we need some people that will, like Josiah, say, I don't have much of an example. There's not many people doing it, and I'm not going to be popular, but I'm going to follow God.
Amen. Before we dismiss, I wonder this week what we're going to do with what we've heard. Raw, that's part of preaching. That's confrontational preaching. And the Word of God is confrontational. And what we're going to do, are we going to leave here on tonight and kind of just make an excuse for what we've heard and what we like to hang on to and that pet sin, and or we're going to deal with it and get things right and do that, what he's called purging. And this ought to be a place that encourages Christians and young people to be Christians and good young people. And every now and then I catch wind, a little bit of peer pressure going the other way. And where people in our church are being given peer pressure to other kids to maybe listen to the wrong kind of music, do the wrong kind of things. My first reaction is to get up and blow a gasket. And if I don't want to chase that all the time, I get tired of chasing that kind of stuff all the time. I'd encourage you, though, be a good peer pressure to our young people and our parents and our church family. If somebody has higher standards than you do, don't shoot them down. Encourage them. Encourage them. Even if you're like, well, I don't agree with that. It doesn't make a difference what you agree with. They're living by faith. And why wound their conscience and their faith with God? Because you don't want to have that standard. And and by the way, moms and dads, it'll be different one day when it's your kid being peer pressured to the wrong direction. We don't think it's a big deal now. But when it's our kid being peer pressured to do something wrong, wait till the mama bear comes out then. So I just encourage you. What a great message. And I encourage your young folks, make a stand for Christ at a young age. And by the way, all you got to do is just do it a few times. A few times. And all those friends on the fringe, they'll leave you alone because they don't want to mess with you. Right. And but you got to replace those bad friends with some good friends. And if he doesn't, God's sufficient to walk alone with. He'll meet your needs. So thank you, Pastor Ronnie, for that. Lord, today thank you for the message. Lord, everything that's been preached and taught this week is what I needed and has encouraged me, Father. Lord, maybe make the right decisions this week and the right choices and purpose our heart to serve you. Bless our services now to follow. We ask in your name. Amen.